Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. Keith Tkachuk coming up on the Captain's Log at 8:30, the former Blues forward. Plus, the father of Calgary Flames forward and St. Louis native Matthew Tkachuk, Blues and Flames tonight, Walter, at 8:30. And then, Doug, you said, hey, be cool to hear from Julia Ann. Well, Iggy got her. That's at 9:15, the AVN Hall of Famer, and also it says notable Prop 60 opponent.
Prop 60? Is that where they're charging more taxes on cigarettes?
No, this is where they're going to make stag film stars wear condoms.
Oh, different thing. Okay, right. Entirely different. Yeah, right. My bad. Different.
Guy named Weinstein's headed it up.
Good earner.
He's suing so that they do or don't?
That they do have to wear them.
Okay, why does Weinstein care?
Maybe Julia Ann tell us.
Maybe he thinks it's a health concern.
You know what's odd is that he made all of his money by taking care of AIDS patients. And now he wants them to wear condoms? Wouldn't that cut
maybe
into business?
Maybe he saw what horrors it brings, and so he wants to protect people.
No, he made a ton of money doing this. He's a kind of a shady character if you listen to all of the ladies talk about him.
Involved in the porn industry? Shady?
He's not in the porn industry.
No, he's not in the porn industry.
He's the opponent of the porn industry. Yeah.
He won't come on and debate the girls, or he infiltrates their meetings with girls that are part of his group that they say they're porn stars. They have a right to be there, so...
Well, this wine's a mess. He's a snootful.
Doug Ryan Kelly is on the line. Hello, Ryan.
Boy, I just hate to interrupt this conversation.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I
had a plan.
Education on the shady porn industry.
I don't want to believe it.
I'll never look at X-Hamster the same again.
Oh, yeah. Well, you shouldn't be on there anyway, Ryan.
I didn't know there was such a background behind it all, and all these arguments.
Yeah, there's a whole thing going on.
This and that, and people don't let people talk, and holy cow, I just thought it was about... cool videos and cool pics.
Yeah. Well, you should
cool
stay off there, probably.
Cool.
You know, we talk a lot on the show about elections. This side, that side, who's right, who's wrong, who do you hate least, who do you hate more. But one thing we never really hit on is mortgage rates in elections. And not to bring that into it, but it's a serious conversation. Mortgage interest rates tend to rise when there's an election, and I think most economists believe that this election will be no different. And I was reading several articles as I couldn't sleep all night. And it's hard to find anybody that doesn't think that mortgage rates will skyrocket as soon as this election's over on November 8th. So I feel like it's my due diligence and my duty to tell all the listeners, if you haven't already locked into a mortgage rate in the twos, call my office today. Let me talk to you. Let me work up some options. Options are free. And let's see how much money I can save you. If you don't have a rate in the twos, call me today. I'll work up the options. Maybe even turn down the past. That doesn't scare me. Call me. Put me to the test. 314-781-9700 or always online at thehomeloanexpert.com. My company is The Home Loan Expert LLC. Appreciate you boys. Let me jump on, and I'm going to hang up and listen now.
There he is, Ryan Kelly, the title sponsor of this award-winning radio presentation. Ryan Kelly online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Keith Tkachuk, 8:30. Julia Ann coming up at 9:15 here on the program. Iggy, your girl Lady Gaga was on with James Corden. Did you watch this? I heard part of her on Howard Stern yesterday. Good interview, as always.
Yeah, it was. I saw the karaoke.
Doug, we have the audio, so you can take a listen.
Okay,
Plow Flame really has it for you.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Move!
Bitch, get out of the way. Get out of the way, bitch. Get out of the way. I said move, bitch. Get out of the way.
Nice.
You're about to go and do the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When you get the phone call saying you're going to do the Super Bowl, what goes through your mind?
Well, let's do it. Hello?
Hey, Gaga.
Hey, what's up?
It's Dave from the NFL.
Hi, Dave.
What are you doing early next year?
Oh, my gosh. Are you giving me the Super Bowl?
Yes, that's amazing that you even knew that from that small bit of information.
I want your love and I want your revenge. You and me could write a bad romance. Oh,
Was she wearing the meat dress, Ziggy?
Oh, my God. You know what, Doug? There was
he's not happy with you.
No, there's a friend of mine, Danielle Cook, and she travels a lot. And she posted on her Facebook page yesterday. She happened to be in New Jersey, and she was in a Walmart. And Lady Gaga came strolling into the Walmart and just bought a ton of candy, I guess, for kids. And there were a bunch of people posting, and somebody said, was she wearing the meat dress?
Yeah.
I mean, this.
Well, doesn't she always wear it?
Billboard talking about her new album, the front cover, her in a meat dress.
Sure. She seems to wear it all the time.
Some, you know, it's just different strokes.
She hasn't worn it in 9 years. It's in the Smithsonian.
I wear like a nice zip pullover. Some people prefer a meat dress.
Right.
We're not judging.
Yeah, so she was all over the place yesterday and happened to stop in Walmart in New Jersey and buy some candy. So she was very good on Saturday Night Live and... In, I don't know when she's going to tour for this album because...
Think she'll come through St. Louis?
I don't know when she's going to tour. In January, she starts filming the remake of A Star is Born.
Judy Garland.
Yeah, she's playing Judy Garland's part opposite of Bradley Cooper. And she's writing the entire soundtrack for the movie, which I thought it already had a soundtrack. But so I don't know when she's going to tour.
I would think she might be a difficult person to recognize if she was in normal clothes without all the makeup because she looks so radically different. Every time she's on the stage, I guess she just looked for the meat dress.
No, you can recognize her. She's toned down a little bit. Except for now the pink hat. But
I don't know that I'd recognize her.
I think she's accepting. Well, I'll find out today, but last year we started the Donna Strode Burdett Memorial Inspiration Award that we give out at Gobble Bowl. Last year we gave it to my niece, and this year I have two. I can't mention the other one. It's going to be a surprise. But this person is a friend of the show, and he'll be there at Gobble Bowl. But we're also giving one to Lady Gaga, and I do believe her mother is accepting the award for her and filming a video for her. So.
Her mother's coming to Gobble Bowl.
No, she's just going to film a video and say thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice.
And Ken Bone is coming, too. I found out yesterday Ken Bone's coming to Gobble Bowl.
Is he going to bowl?
No, just hang out and
sign. You guys are fast friends.
Just come and hang out and sign baseballs.
Doug, the World Series.
Yeah.
It gets underway this evening. Jason Kipnis, I didn't know this, grew up a hardcore Cubs fan, and he said some of his friends and family, even though he's playing for the Indians, are going to be cheering for the Cubs.
Cubs, yeah. I can understand that with the friends. I'm not sure I understand that with the family.
He says he would love to see Steve Bartman throw out the first pitch at Wrigley for Game 3 when the series goes to the National League. So you see, you have
that
to understand,
would be awesome.
Sure, the Cubs had a much better record than the Indians, but because the American League won this exhibition game,
mm-hmm.
it's on Fox, in the middle of the summer, that determines that the Indians should get home field advantage. It makes sense if you think about it. So he says, we have a joke. The only thing I'm mad at Bartman for is missing an easy fly ball. He said, Kipnis wishes those Chicago fans who haven't been able to let go would finally forgive Bartman and turn an ugly moment into something special. Quote, I would love to see him throw out a first pitch. Everyone would go nuts. Kipnis was in high school when Bartman innocently sitting in a front row seat down the left field line became an unintentional celebrity in Game 6 of the 2003.
I remember that.
NLCS.
Yeah.
Moises Alou didn't help him any by throwing a little tantrum out there in left field. And then the Cubs still had a chance to win, but they made two or three errors later in that inning, as I recall.
Yeah, but Schwarber's coming back.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't really around back then.
No, he was. He's older than 11.
Well, barely.
Can you believe he's still in hiding, Bartman, after all these years?
You think he'll make a return to Wrigley like Bill Buckner did after the Red Sox won the World Series?
What does that say about Cub fans, that a guy's got to go in hiding for fear of his safety?
And how about you complain and bitch at Alex Gonzalez, who's getting paid to play the game of baseball, botches an easy double play at short, would have ended that inning after the Bartman play, and it's still all about Bartman.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I never understood at all.
Well, it's kind of an interesting story, how a fan actually affected the outcome of the NLCS.
Well, Cardinal fans aren't that forgiving. Ty Wigginton is still in hiding.
He isn't. I mean, you think the fans would really do something physical to Bartman?
I don't know if it's that. I think this guy probably is a normal guy who's just tired of dealing with it. So he's taking himself off the grid in a sense. Understandable.
I thought maybe that Kipnis was talking about the Indians paying Bartman to go to Cleveland to throw out the first pitch, just to kind of continue to rub the Cubs' noses.
That'd be like a Trump move at the debate.
I think he's a huge Cubs fan. And he said he was watching the Cubs wrap up the pennant on Saturday, and he said it was emotional. He said some of his friends were at Wrigley Field on Saturday night, and when the last out was recorded, he said, I was kind of there too. I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know if I was happy, mad, sad. I was emotional. I was choked up. I was like, oh no, what does this mean right now? But it's nothing more than excitement for the games. He said he expects to get booed, even though he's going back to his hometown. And he grew up in the same neighborhood, went to the same school as Steve Bartman. Fun facts for no one tell. Bartman older, obviously.
Yeah.
If they're Cubs fans, they'll boo as they should if you're a baseball fan. But I'll have enough there that you'll hear hopefully a couple of cheers. Kipnis knows what a championship would mean to fans for both teams who have gone a combined 174 seasons without celebrating a World Series title. They have the only drought that could make our drought look small. They've got us by 40 years. Both franchises have been yearning for this championship. It's pretty cool. One of them will come to an end. And Kipnis isn't torn over which one he hopes continues. There's not one part of me that doesn't wish this curse would keep going. Cubs minus 190, Doug. Almost 2-1 favorites on
Bovada. That's crazy.
To win the World Series, even though they don't have home field advantage. Again, the American League won an exhibition game in the middle of July, even though the Cubs won 103 games, 10 more than the Indians.
I just feel like it's the Indians' time. I don't know.
And I can't figure it out.
I've been a fan of the Indians now for literally days.
Yeah, you've really studied that club 5-10 minutes at a time. I wouldn't sleep on the Tribe. They were awfully impressive in the American League playoffs.
I think
they've kind of flown under the radar pretty much all year because of other teams.
Well, if you remember,
doing more spectacular
with all the
things.
Injuries to their pitching staff, a columnist in Cleveland wrote that their season's over. Where is that columnist now? Yeah. I would tweet out
Call
and hope to
out.
Get likes and retweets.
It's the Cubs, so I'm not necessarily, even though I like, you know, some of the guys on the Cubs, I'm not going to root for the Cubs. But the fact that the Indians are now such an overwhelming underdog, their story is compelling. I will definitely be pulling for the Tribe.
You will. I find myself not really pulling for either team in these playoffs. I watch it for the entertainment value without really caring too much which way it goes. Unless it's the Cardinals, unless it's my team. I just kind of watch.
What if they put a small taste?
The Cardinals are Doug's team. They've been your team now for a long time.
Since I can remember what baseball was, which is early 1960s. Yeah, I can't root hard for any other team, really.
Danny Salazar to return for the Indians as well, which will help their pitching rotation.
It's the Plowhawk.
Oh, yeah. He throws heat is what he does.
Yep.
Can any of us name the Indians outfield?
Coco Crisp is out there.
Yeah. Rajah Davis plays a little bit.
Darnell Coles.
I don't think Coles is out there.
He's the hitting coach for the Brewers.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got somebody who'll come ready to play. Some guys that the Indians had their eyes on for a while and are happy to get them onto the club. And now here they are blossoming. And I don't really think we even need to mention who their names are because it would be, you know, it'd be an insult to the fan base. You know, we know who they are. You know who they are. These are good, solid players up and down their lineup.
With good wars.
Some of them have nice wars. Yes, they do. Some of them will get on base. They'll work the count. They'll get on base, and, you know, someone else will bring them around.
Okay.
That's been the name of the game for the Indians.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but do any of the players on the Indians roster foul off pitches intentionally?
No.
Waste a pitch, as they
no.
say.
No, if they could, they would be fouling him off against Aroldis Chapman. You might foul off some of those 102-mile-an-hour fastballs to get a better one, but they won't do that on purpose. No. That's not the Indians' thing. The Indians' thing is what I would call run prevention.
What?
They're going to try to get good pitching and, at the same time, outscore you. This is what's made the Indians' season. They try to outscore the opposition with a bunch of players that we don't even need to tell you who they are because I'm sure you know yourself.
Napsy's back in the World Series. Guy's always in the World Series. Different team, always in the World Series. John Lackey, different team, always in the World Series.
Yeah.
Napsy had a very good season.
Napsy's a softball player who just keeps hitting 30 home runs every year.
A lot of people say he's like Matt Stairs, Doug.
Well, I think he's probably better than Matt
Stairs. He's a better hitter than Stairs.
Wow.
I hear some Cardinal fans.
855-282-TALK. Oh.
I've had Cardinal fans say, what about Napoli at first base? And then you move Carpenter somewhere else, and you have a first baseman who can hit home runs. Yeah, I'm not so sure I'm interested in that.
Doug, Buick Encores are also a 2016 Super Savings at Gateway Buick GMC. While the 16 models remain, enjoy savings over $7,000 off MSRP while they last. Book a free test drive online at stlouisbuickgmc.com or call 888-865-9419 to secure one of the last 2016 models at this price point before it's too late. Gateway, the right way. Visit Gateway in person off I-270 McDonald Boulevard now. stlouisbuickgmc.com, Gateway Buick GMC, I-270, and McDonald Boulevard, the studio sponsor of this award-winning radio presentation. Also on this award-winning radio presentation, Tullamore Dew is the official Irish whiskey of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We will have Keith Tkachuk with us coming up here in a matter of seconds. His son playing tonight for the Calgary Flames, making his debut, we hope, in St. Louis as he returns home. Walter will join us in a matter of seconds. Blues Talk presented by Bud Light. And then Doug at 9:15, AVN Hall of Famer and notable Prop 60 opponent, Julia Ann.
Interesting.
Wow.
Deke Dotem just told me that Jason Kipnis is a member, card-carrying member. So I have another I have another reason to root.
A member of what?
JHE. Good earner.
Is he? Yeah.
I don't have all the documentation like handy, so someone has to let me know whether or not someone is a member. So rooting for the Indians too, then. Good for you, Doug.
Well,
you're embracing diversity.
I'm not a member of JHE, but I don't find that as a reason to root against or for another team.
I don't see Dotem's tweet to you, but I do see what he just posted 11 minutes ago. The thought of getting my booger hooks in Joel Osteen's soiled denim pan and stimulating that hairy cornloaf gets me wet.
See, this is why he's been suspended indefinitely. That was an illegal reading of one of Deke Dotem's tweets.
Well, I thought if it were on Twitter, it were okay.
No, absolutely not.
But the cat just cited it, and it was fine.
It's not okay. It's not okay on this station. If he wants to just impart information to you in private, that's fine. But his opinions cannot and
you
shall
do
not,
not
be
control
read here.
All media. Okay.
This guy's been suspended. This guy's been suspended indefinitely.
But that is an interesting.
And I think
tweet
we just heard
Osteen.
Why. I think that was a reminder of why.
Why?
Damn it! Why? I'm glad that we could read that tweet with Walter on hold. Dougie's a friend of the show.
Probably not anymore.
But we hadn't heard from him in a while. And now his son is coming to the TD Ameritrade soon?
Not yet, it isn't.
To play the Blues. What a special day this has to be for the Walter family. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome him back to the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Friend of the show?
No, he won't admit to that.
Morning, Walter.
Hey, fellas. How you guys been?
It's great to hear from you. This has to be like one of the best days ever, isn't it?
I guess not talking to you guys. the game tonight. No. Yeah, it's a fun day. Fun day.
What's it like for you as a dad where your son is going to be playing in the building where you played? You know, he's just scratching the surface now of what he could potentially be in the NHL. What is it like emotionally for dad?
Well, it's tough. It's weird. You know, it's always
we have a bad connection, Walter. So I'm going to have the Seamaster give Walter a call back, and we'll get a better connection there.
He needs a better cell phone.
What do you think? What do you think he's got? One of
he's got a lot of money in the bank. He can get a better cell phone.
Doug, he did very well for himself.
Yes, he did indeed. He certainly played a long time,
and he was worth it. He was a good Hall of Fame player.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we got Walter now. Walter, we had a problem. We had a problem with your connection.
You guys there?
Yes, yeah, sir. We're here. Sure.
Oh, good. No, it's like I was saying, it's a little different, you know, being a parent and watching when I used to play there and he used to come to the games and watch. So it's a little nerve-wracking, but, you know, we're just thrilled and, you know, can't believe that, you know, he's played some games right now and, you know, fortunately he's playing tonight. So it's going to be a dream come true for him playing on the ice that he grew up, you know, going to and skating on. And for us to be able to come and watch him play on that rink, it's going to be pretty special.
We know you as a big personality, an aggressive player on the ice. But I was told as your son was climbing the ranks through junior hockey and playing as a young man. You'd go to the games. I know you did some coaching too, but you were always very well behaved. Like a lot of parents can't seem to separate themselves from that. But someone told me you did a very good job with it.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, you have to be. It's a little different. You know, sports nowadays, you have to be careful. And, you know, my job was to coach and help, you know, these kids develop. And, you know, you can't get too out of control like some people do. But, no, it was good. It was fun. You know, it's great to be a part, you know, helping a lot of these kids. And, you know, that particular team that Matthew was on, a lot of them are still playing junior hockey in college. And so it was a lot of fun. I just can't believe how fast it's gone by.
I think it might have been Chase who said this, and I thought it was a really intriguing point, and considering it came from Chase, that's really kind of out of line. But he said that one of the reasons why these young players have thrived in St. Louis is because guys such as yourself, who played the game, especially at a high level, clearly have the credibility that some of the crap that goes on in other sports with parents, you know, causing problems with coaches, managers, whatever the case might be, wouldn't go on. And so the coaches were able to implement a system without any BS, or at least less BS, from parents. You think that's an accurate characterization?
Well, the one thing, yeah, for sure in St. Louis, we had a lot of former Blues, who had kids go through and who sometimes didn't have kids go through, just gave back and coach. And I think that goes a long way. And I think you're seeing more and more of that around the U.S. where guys are giving back. And in particular in St. Louis, you know, we had a lot of former Blues give back. And I think that goes a long way in helping, you know, be able to see the game and give back, I think, is, pretty good. And I know the kids really appreciated it. And I think that's, you know, helped out in the long run for the St. Louis hockey. And along with the St. Louis Blues, the exciting, you know, teams we have, I think you're going to see more and more kids developing into, playing college hockey and doing different things. It's, it's really nice to see, you know, kids from a market like this getting noticed.
You know, it's kind of an upset, but something else that Chase said that was interesting was that, you find in the NHL that the players seem to be more down to earth and more sort of regular guys. And he said the reason is that throughout Canada, and I guess in the United States as well, you know, parents have to drive their kids to these games and everything. And it's the fact that there's so much parental input in the lives of these young athletes that helps them develop in a positive way. Do you see that too?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, it's an expensive sport. It's a big commitment, not just for the particular player and the parents, but for the whole family. I mean, you're lugging everybody with you. One person is going to practice, probably all five of you are going to practice, depending on how many brothers and sisters you have. And, you know, a lot of people are spending a lot of money, and it's a big commitment. It really is. But, you know, fortunately, you're with your family, and, you know, you're always together, and then at some point you're going to have to move on. But, you know, it's a lot of great people involved in the game of hockey. Parents, a lot of great people we've met. So, it's weird that it's over and then our kids are moving on, but it was a heck of a ride.
How old was Matthew when you could tell that he had a chance to have a future in the sport? About what age can you get a sense?
You know, it's hard. I mean, these kids are, everybody develops at a different age, a different pace. And, you know, fortunately he made the National Development Program. And once you make that, there's a good indication that you might be able to play beyond that program. So, and he continued to get better. And Matthew was a little bit of a late bloomer too, where he grew and got stronger and his game developed a little bit better. But, you know, he's still only 18 years old, so he's still learning. He's still a young guy, and, you know, he's been in and out of the lineup here the last couple of days based on, you know, his kind of contract status. So it's, he's still developing. And that's the great thing about hockey. I mean, you're not too, you're not too old. You're not too young. You know, you can play till you're like guys like Jagr in your 40s. So
as a dad, how do you give him the direction and obviously let him benefit from your knowledge, and at the same time, realize that when it's time to take the foot off the gas pedal and maybe not push him so much. I would imagine that's a very difficult thing to figure out.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's hard. You know how it is when you're dealing with your own kid. You, as a parent, you know, I know what it was like with my family. Sometimes you don't want to hear from your parents, no matter what they did. So, you know, we're talking. We always talk. But, you know, lately, you know, he's wanted to try to figure things out on his own. And, you know, if he wants to talk, he will call me and ask me questions. But, you know, you got to know when to do it and when not to do it. You know, he's in the middle of, you know, something right now where he's playing against men, the same league that I played in. And the last thing he wants to do is hear from me all the time. So, you know, he's doing a good job. He's around a lot of good guys. And, you know, if he wants some advice, I'll give it to him. But I'm not going to go out there and keep bothering him.
How does his game compare to yours in the way you played?
Well, I think I was a little more straightforward and a little more in your face and playing that style. And I think he does a little of that, but he's definitely a little bit more finesse. He likes to slow the game down a little bit and make plays. And, you know, he'll go around to the front of the net tonight. I think you'll see that. So a little similar, but he was definitely more skilled than I was.
And so what's the game plan? Do you have him over for dinner? Do you talk to him before the game tonight? Do you drive over with him, or is he totally on his own?
He's on his own. I had to pry it out of him when he was coming in, where he was staying. So, you know, they got in late last night. So I'll just see him probably after the game. I don't even think I'll even talk to him. It's a big game for his team and for him. So the last thing he wants to do is, you know, yap at me for, you know, 15 minutes. I'll probably just see him after the game. There's a lot of people going down tonight. So looking forward to finally seeing him on the ice that he used to come out and for pregame skates, you know, as a kid. So it's going to be pretty cool. I'm sure it's going to be pretty cool for him.
What was it like to see that first NHL goal last week?
It was awesome. I mean, my wife and I went to the first couple games, and then, you know, we had to go home. So I watched it. It was great. You know, everybody dreams about scoring their first goal, and, you know, we were pretty excited. I mean, you know, he'll never forget that moment, and we'll never forget that moment. It was a heck of an achievement. It was a big goal for his team as well. So, you know, he's worked very hard to get here, and he's continuing to do that because he wants to stay for a long time.
It's a nice goal, too. He went half the length of the ice, dipsy-doodle a little bit. It's not like he just stood in front of the goal and got hit in the mouth with it and it trickled in.
And what are you trying to say?
Dipsy-doodle. I love that. Can you say that again?
Yeah, he dipsy-doodled.
I think he's a Doug Lemming.
Oh, I love it, dipsy-doodle. Yeah, it was a nice goal. It's a lot better than some of the goals I scored, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's not the point I was making by the shot in the mouth.
Oh, yeah, it was. That was a touchy... I don't like to remember that day when I got hit in the mouth, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You look beautiful in the aftermath. You look beautiful.
Thanks, guys.
Walter Tkachuk, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Yeah, we haven't had you on the show in a while, and we've been missing you. The audience says, hey, what's Walter up to? And I'm just like, he's traveling around. He's got his kids playing the game. You know, he's not just hanging out here waiting for us to call. At least I don't think you are.
He's missed
us. I miss you guys, Dirtbag.
Dirtbags, he called us Dirtbags.
No, he calls me Dirtbag.
Oh. Yeah, him Dirtbag. That's right.
All right. Thank you, Walter. Clear Doug up. Doug's a mess this morning. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, it's great to have you back on the show. I'm really excited for you. I mean, I remember talking to you years ago when I guess he was getting ready to go to high school. And to see him now playing in the NHL and then return to the Scott Trade Center, pretty cool story. So we're fired up for you.
Are you playing in the Winter Classic game?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
Come back. You got to play in that thing. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, how serious will you take that? Well, that'll be let's win or let's have a good time.
Let's just try to get through it.
All right.
Nothing to do with wins and losses or that. You know what I mean? Let's just try to get through this one.
Yeah. Well, that'll be a fun moment, I think.
Are you kidding me?
Everybody.
It's gonna be incredible. The Blues have done a great job, and to be outside a Busch, you know, stadium and playing there and doing that's gonna be once in a lifetime.
You still playing at all?
Absolutely not.
You know, yeah, bad question. You got your fill of it?
Well, yeah, I did. We'll try a few laps around, maybe a couple weeks before, and then go at it. So.
Well, you're not going to need like double bladed skates or anything, are you? You don't have
chair. No, double bladed chair. Yeah, I'll just grab onto somebody.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun to see all the old guys. A lot of them are coming back to play, aren't they?
Yeah, I just don't know who exactly, but, you know, it's going to be a great event, not just on the ice, but off the ice, getting everybody together and everybody back together and some of the different generations, you know, put together. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's such a great thing to watch, the Winter Classic, and to have it in St. Louis. You know, St. Louis becomes the focal point of the hockey world, which is, you know, obviously a great thing for the city and for the Blues.
It is. It's going to be an incredible event. The NHL has done an excellent job with all of them, and especially doing it in a market like this, you know, with your arrival, the Blackhawks, and hopefully it's a beautiful day. If not, doesn't matter. Just being on the outdoors like you were or when you were a kid, it's going to be a pretty special event, and all the fans are going to have a blast. It's going to be just a great couple of days.
Well, I'd like to see you put one of the Blackhawk grocery sticks on your dance card, and then maybe dipsy-doodle a little and get yourself a basket, Bulger.
All right.
All right, Walter, enjoy a great day for you and your family today, sir. Thanks for dropping by the program again. Great to hear
you. We miss you.
Hey, thanks a lot, eh?
There you go.
There it was.
That's a classic right there. He's paying
homage.
Homage. To Larry Plow when he was with us, and some of the boys were listening to the interview, and I think it was a Morning Grind interview, and Martin was kind of veering off of hockey talk, and he goes, "Oh, okay, hey, let's talk hockey." Hey. And then
it became a staple for him on the show.
And then as he said, "Okay, thanks a lot, eh?"
Hey,
and then at some point maturity kicked in, and he turned his back on this show.
Absolutely. Walter says he doesn't necessarily care about winning the old timers game. Well, not of course the Blues and Blackhawks, but the old timers game. He said he just wants to get through it.
See, I don't believe him on that because he's such a competitor, and you know the way he is with his fantasy football. Big Walt needs a running back. You know he's going to be. Big Walt wants a goal today, boys.
Nope.
They probably go out there thinking this will just be fun. We'll laugh it up. And then once they start playing and they see the other guys, they go, "Now wait a minute. We may all be in our 50s now, but I still want to win the game.
I'm not going to let that guy beat me."
I think there's going to be a little charge when you see Gusarov back on the ice for the first time in 15 years.
Yeah, boy, that'll send a jolt to the crowd.
They haven't announced all, but Havanov is coming back, Sasha.
Yeah, he's going to smoke darts while skating this time, as opposed to just off to the side of the ice.
How about some of the stars? Some of the stars are playing too, right?
Yeah, but Havanov was in his own right.
Right.
He was a nicotine
star. He wore the C for the President's Trophy team, I think.
I don't remember that.
He actually wore a nicotine patch. It looked like a C.
Trying to kick the habit.
Guys, it was so nice to hear from Walt. I grew up loving him, and he couldn't have been nicer the times I met him. That comes from the Squirtle.
The Squirtle?
Right.
Wow.
Guys, does Walter still talk to Josh the Bat Boy? That's right. He was down on Josh the Bat Boy.
He would be belligerent toward Josh.
Yeah. Thought he was too old.
Yep.
Well, he also said that his kids asked Josh for a ball and didn't give it to him, so that put him on the list.
Then he declared war.
But you think about Walter as a leader in that dressing room, like with a young T.J. Oshie, he called him Furnace Face.
Yeah, which was not nice. Which was not kind. I remember Greg Vaughn hit Matthew Tkachuk in the foot with a Little League baseball game once.
Were you throwing at him?
No, he just wasn't very, didn't have any control.
So this is fastball, same guy that couldn't pull a ball?
Right. He was also a pitcher a little bit, and when our kids were about 7 or 8 or so, he hit him in the foot with a fastball.
And then Walter came and put his finger in your chest.
No, he didn't. He did not. I'm not sure Walter was even there.
He doesn't care for the baseball.
I'm just not sure he was even there.
Yeah, he wore a Red Sox hat to the 2004 World Series, and that led to a few sound-off letters.
Yeah, I remember that. And now he's got to be a Flames fan through and through.
Laissez Flame.
Yeah. Once if your kid's playing on a team, that becomes your team, clearly, even if you played for somebody else, I would think.
Cat, was Walt the first one to coin you as a ween peeker, or was that somebody else?
No, that was an accusation made by Keith in regard to Doug Waite, who was trying to leave the practice facility without doing interviews based on a scurrilous lie, and shortly after Doug Waite was shipped out of town.
You couldn't take your prying eyes anymore.
I just wanted him to not leave because he was a big part of the storyline for whatever the next game was. And he had been ducking out in the there was two dressing rooms, and he had been using the back dressing room. So I just said, "Can we grab you before you go for a couple questions?"
But what was he wearing at the time?
He was fresh out of the shower, bro.
That is not true. You were not there.
That was the accusation.
Well, by Walter. I mean, no offense.
He speaks the truth.
I think under questioning, I think he would crumble because it was based.
And then Doug White was shipped out of town, Doug.
Yes, he was.
Right. He was uncomfortable.
Because that's what happens when you build a case on lies. It falls apart, Doug.
Or if there's some truth to it, you say, listen, I got to get out of here. And the general manager says, I understand fully.
Well, he tried to get out of the practice facility without talking, and I tried to... Look, trust me, if the Four Fox was there, if they ever go to Blues, then you would have been jumping in on that interview, too.
Not while he's naked.
He was dressed, Doug.
Wien-peeking allegations.
You like that?
No,
That's what makes your synapse fire.
No, I just... I hadn't thought about it in a while, and it's kind of ugly when it rears its head again.
That's why I got into the business.
Oh, look, there's Mark McGuire's penis.
There's someone else, Wing Peak.
Tim just said that's why he got it. Oh, Tim.
And the early 2000s Cardinals just did everything possible to make, like, the one female who would be in the clubhouse... Is, you know, but they didn't say it, but I knew what the codes were, you know, like McGuire, actually. Funny he was just brought up. We got Birdwatcher in the room, Birdwatcher.
That's what he said.
Yell it out. To nobody in particular.
Naked bodies. Naked bodies. Naked bodies.
Who's that?
Edmonds.
Who's that?
Edmonds. Well, Klein would call me over, and then he would reveal his ween right there.
Oh, jeez.
He'd say, McKernan, look, flying squirrel. And I go, ah!
And of course...
And then I would sit and gaze.
And you're interviewing whoever the heck it was.
Ray King.
Off in the corner, and then there's Klein walking naked behind the interview, so you couldn't use it.
But isn't that what turned you?
Turned you.
Yeah, we had a nice interview with a proud dad, and Doug has taken it and just shifted straight back into the gutter.
No, I didn't. No. Iggy brought it up.
Now we'll get back on track with Julia Ann at 9:15. We'll be fine.
This is the one who does the fantasy football.
No, Lisa Ann might be related. They do have the same last name. This is Julia. Julia Ann. Doug, do you know about Bertarelli Cutlery?
I do. I know that what they do is sharpen things.
Lives. And lives too, right?
They don't just sharpen knives. They sharpen lives. And they don't just sharpen knives either. They'll also sharpen your dagger. Got a machete? Yep. Sword? Yes, they'll sharpen those. Scissors, pinking shears, kitchen shears, food processor blades, mandolin blade, lawnmower blade, mulching blade, reel mower, pruning shear, garden clipper, shovel, chainsaw. You understand what I'm talking about?
Wow.
Anything that cuts, Bertarelli will sharpen, and they've been doing it for generations down there at Marconi on the Hill. They sharpen and service knives, slicer blades, mixers, and so darn much more. They also service all major brands of food prep equipment. No business too big, too small for their family service at Bertarelli. Highest quality cutting boards on the market as well. All your favorite kitchen tools, gadgets, and gizmos from the names you love and trust. That's Bertarelli Cutlery, Marconi on the Hill. You mentioned this program, and you receive one free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase. That's BertarelliCutlery.com.
They are the sponsor of the Cuts of the Week on this award-winning radio presentation. Will Ferrell made his return to Jimmy Kimmel last night. He's on Jimmy Kimmel regularly, but he's not on Jimmy Kimmel too often as Harry Carey. But in honor of the Cubs being in the World Series beginning this evening, Will Ferrell brought Harry Carey back.
Hey, Johnny, did you know that the last time the Cubbies won the World Series, it was 1908?
I did know that. That's a long time.
Long time, yeah. 1908.
Mm-hmm.
In 1908, our president was Theodore Huxtable Roosevelt. Did you know that?
I didn't.
America's top export was fruit roll-ups. And the number one television show was The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, starring the $6 million man himself, Lee Majors.
I didn't even know we had television. None of that seems accurate at all.
And Addison Russell gets a piece of that one. Durham goes the second two-man on with none out.
You know, this is very interesting to me because clearly you've been following baseball, even though you passed away in 1998.
1998?
Yeah.
Holy cow, I'm dead.
It's funny. Doug, deep down, are you going to be pulling for the Cubs? Or are you just not going to care, which is fine.
I'm just going to watch it for the entertainment value. I don't care. I'm fine either way.
You are fine. You fine.
I think if I weren't going to wager, maybe I won't wind up wagering. I don't know. I'll probably be live betting it. I would be pulling for the Indians. But I wouldn't like be really upset if the Cubs won. So I think I'll probably live bet it to try and see if I can edges and trends.
I think it'd be fun for the Cubs to not win getting this close, but I'd be mad if they won. I just feel like rooting for the Indians. Again, I've been a fan of Cleveland Indians baseball for days now.
Yeah. Not so much in the Rocky Calavita era or Sonny Siebert.
I really liked Joe Charbonneau and Oscar Gamble, Charlie Spikes. But since then, my interest has fallen off a little bit.
There's a lot of Cub fans I know that are just beside themselves right now. My sister-in-law was in tears when they won the other night.
Is that right?
Yeah. I guess if you've been watching it, we don't really have that perspective in St. Louis because, you know, every few years the Cardinals either get in or they win the thing.
Well, when they got there in 04, I mean, it's nothing comparison to the Cubs drought. But, I mean, it had been 17 years. And when they won it in 06, it had been 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, growing up and being 5 or just turned 6, I guess, when they won in 82, you know, to me, at that time, 1967, the last time they had won the World Series, you know, it doesn't even exist in my mind. It's still going around. But that was only, quote-unquote, a 15-year difference. So, you know, in St. Louis, 24-year difference, that was a pretty big gap, and there were 17 years in between World Series appearances. But I am legitimately sympathetic, you know, because my experience growing up here, we just didn't grow up around Cubs fans. I think where the people, like, legitimately are, like, disgusted by the whole thing are more in Illinois, where they, you know, they have the rivalry thing, like I say about KU and Missouri and Kansas City. On this side of the state, KU, unless you went to Missouri, doesn't, you know, really hold much weight.
Almost, and I guess you could say every generation of Cardinal fan has had a championship team, going back to the 20s and then the 40s and the 60s and the 80s.
Born in 2012, a lot of our listeners.
Well,
do the math, Doug.
Maybe, yeah, if you're under 4, you've not seen the Cardinals win a World Series championship. Everybody else, at one point, got one.
And the Cubs are not, to me, hateable, except for the fact that everyone else already given them the World Series crown. I get some people, you know, get bristled by that. But if you go to Wrigley Field to watch a game, Cubs fans are nice. It's so much fun going to a game at Wrigley. It's a great thing.
Now, I know the Indians haven't won since 45, but I guess all their good players are dead, like Feller, because I see where Carlos Baerga is throwing out the first pitch tonight.
Former Cardinal.
He's the best that
that's the best Cleveland could find. I think Kenny Lofton, too, but I guess he's the best they could find. All the good ones are dead, I guess.
So they couldn't have Charlie Sheen throw out the pitch to make sure that they got Baerga in there.
Right. And Oral Hershiser had some big years, didn't he, even in the 90s with the Indians?
Oral play.
Okay. What other big-time All-Star players really have they had?
I think Hargrove.
Albert Bell. Yeah. He'd come out and sign autographs and wave to the crowd.
No, he wouldn't. He'd give everyone the finger, maybe throw a bat at a kid.
I think Hargrove is tomorrow night.
Yeah, not exactly household names.
They're bringing them
along. Who are the household names from the 95 and 97 team? Alomar. Baerga would be, actually.
Hershiser was their ace, wasn't he?
Jose Mesa gave up the hit to Renteria, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
97. Jimmy Leland.
Who was the second baseman with the dreads?
Darren Dutch Dalton, sir.
No, that was the Cardinal.
Darren Dalton? He's a catcher?
He's a catcher for the Phillies.
Phillies. Langford ran over him.
He was a good-looking dude, but I guarantee he got some tail.
Okay, Iggy.
Well, now apparently he has some issues where he thinks he can talk to plants and insects, Dutch.
Because Langford ran over him.
Yeah.
Who was the second baseman that the Cardinals had briefly? He was, remember, with the dreads. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Belliard?
Yeah, there you go.
Ronnie Belliard?
That's right.
Thank you, Plowsy.
That's another reason why Cardinal fans should root for it.
The Indians might be, along with the White Sox, the most nondescript team that's come down the pike. You don't really remember many big moments with the Indians. Just not a whole lot historic has happened there.
I remember growing up a Yankee fan, it seemed that whoever was good on the Cleveland Indians, they felt it was an honor to trade their best players to the Yankees every year.
Charlie Spikes, an example of that.
I think Spikes went from the Yankees to the Indians.
Well, they had reciprocal privileges.
Rusty Torres was another guy that went to the Indians who wasn't good.
We'll talk more about Rusty Torres coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. Also, we're going to get to talk to Julia Ann. That's at 9:15. And your emails, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.